You mentioned France real quick in a nice way.
Yeah, I'm a Francophile.
She was magic.
The best show of all.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to A Place Friggin' Podcast. Here we are. Jack Mason, you know, the perfume nationalist, Pagliarina Roma. Yesterday, I did some research. I did some deep dive. I'm like, yo, what's going on with the Jackosphere? I went through your Twitter, and on Twitter, what's up with La Parfumerie, bro? What's up with that French podcast? What is the rivalry? What is the Romeo and Juliet type deal going on with those fellas?
Well, I occasionally look at like normie perfume accounts,
yeah,
of which there are many, and something just led me to a French podcast account that says it's the only non-conforming. irreverent. What's the word? It was something non-conformist, irreverent perfume so, podcast.
People don't know this, and the reason, sorry, I don't want to cut you, but the reason why I'm laughing so hard is not because I'm trying to make you feel good, is because I've listened to a bit of the podcast and I know like how fucking awful it is. It's insane. You guys can't imagine.
You listen to the Parfumerie podcast?
Yeah.
I just looked at the profile and saw like picture what they cover is like Jack Skellington.
Yeah, this shit, like this is my type of humor, dude. This is
but I want to red pill them and make a sleeper cell army in France.
It's fucking insane, dude. These guys are but I speak French. I don't know if you speak French. You're Francophile, so
oh yeah, you're Canadian.
Yeah. Mm. But like, so I had the displeasure of understanding what they were saying in the podcast. Do you want, I made a little transcript, by the way. I'm telling you, this is a great little research. Do you want me to read off the first minute of their podcast? This is a minute, but
wait,
this takes...
What's the gist, like the structure of the podcast? Is it like mine where they cover different media and the media is like Jack Skellington?
I wish it was. No, it's quite literally just guys being like, you know, when you call your friends on WhatsApp, you haven't called them in a long time. I don't use WhatsApp, Telegram, I bet. It's not based to use WhatsApp. You call them in a long time. It's like, hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, not much, man. Hey, well, that's literally it. It's a call between three friends that has very little to do with perfume, except that they like perfume. So sometimes they'll just mention a perfume, you know, so that's their structure.
Okay. Do they all have Zoomer perms? Can you? Is there a video?
There's no video, unfortunately, but they have very old head voices. You know, they're very old head. So like fucking 38. They're probably 38, all of them.
I imagine they were like 22 and all had Zoomer perms.
Maybe they do. Maybe just the perfume they've inhaled throughout the years aged their vocal cords. And their
but like what's amazing to me about French people is like whenever you meet a real one.
Yeah.
All they're interested in is like the outlet mall and like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And but like I, as like a faggot, I have this like highfalutin idea of French culture, and I'm like, ooh, watching the films of Catherine Breillat and you know, the perfumes of Guerlain. And you know, they never care. All they care about is you know, a remake of The Little Mermaid or something.
The new Big Mac. That's what they call it. The new fries that you can offer at the McDonald's in America. That's pretty much it. That's my biggest pet peeve, I think, because the idea Americans have, or non-French speaking countries in general have, of France is so high. And I just want to remind them how fucking shit the country is right now. And in general, like French culture has a very long history, and I don't want to undermine it. It's beautiful. But at the same time, when people think that the average goober, you know, walking down Paris is going to be this cultured, you know, informed
drinking
person.
Drinking espresso, reading Balzac.
He's got AIDS, the guy. Let me tell you this. And this is not a bad, I'm not knocking people who have AIDS, but he's got AIDS.
Everybody has AIDS in France.
Absolutely. So here we are. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Do they still have that wonderful French racist instinct to preserve their culture a little bit? Because, you know, that's admirable. They seem to have that, like the Camp of the Saints is in print.
Yeah.
Do they all just imitate American wokeness now?
I honestly would have to tell you that I'm not the best person, because I was in France this summer, but I was in Paris. So Paris is a different thing. It's like going to LA and being like, oh, America is like this or that. It's like very, you know. So I haven't been to the country. I haven't gone to Varg's house. Fucking Varg and Murray Cachet and their goats. I haven't seen those people. But I mean, look, I will say one thing. You use these terms, absolutely allowed to. I will never censor. But I just think like going to places and be like, are they work or are they queens? Is like kind of like I can't judge that myself. I see, are the people human? You know what I'm saying? Are the people who are there, they do treat me with some kind of respect. Doesn't matter if, like, beyond that, they hate my politics. Beyond that, they want to see my fucking country burn. I don't really care about that. Just when I'm there, am I treated like a human being? And in France, it's not the case. In France, you're spit on, you're trampled, and every time you speak to someone, it's like they're doing you a favor by listening. So after a point, I just fucking pretended I didn't speak French anymore just to piss them off. Because
it's different for me because I'm a celebrity there. I have two French fans. So if I go there, I get recognized.
We had a little meetup for A-Plates when I went to France. There was a guy who's a fan of the show, and we met up too. So we got I think a total, the A-Plates Army and the Jack O'Nation, the Jack O'Nation and the A-Plates Army together, we have a legion. A legion taking over. This is the new.
That's, and after I convert Parfumery podcast, it's gonna be even more.
You know how look, I haven't slept in like 3 days, and I think I'm in a very surreal mode right now. I can't even speak most of the time. I trip over myself, but I will say I forgot about this podcast until you reminded me just a few seconds ago, and now we're back, dude. I have to read you this transcript.
Goodness,
I can't wait. So. All right, this is the actor's studio. I got it. my dear Fun. The other guy responds, my dear Ancient. You doing well? Yep. What's up? A party? I'm okay. Well, I don't know. A party? A party of the Châtaigne? Yeah. Okay. So this is how they start their podcast, and I read it off really fast, but this goes on for a minute about. So after this, I stopped listening. Yeah, I was like,
The amazing thing is they've been doing it almost as long as I have.
Yeah.
Season like
five.
Season five. They've been doing it since 2020.
Hell yeah.
So that's kind of cute that it seems they just call each other and that's a podcast. So, I mean, wait. That's what I do too. So
yeah, but at the same time, man, look,
it's just a little masked by me making up like a book or a movie as justification for.
But
it.
Also, you got a way of speaking. You're like, you could wake up in the morning and you'd be like, you have a very soft spoken, calm, you know, authoritative sort of way of speaking that affects people as well. You know,
that's so nice. When I hear it played back when I'm editing them, it's just like the most shrieking queen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, this is what we all hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know.
Shrieking queen.
It's like the high, you know, the shit that they use to make dogs mad. That's what it sounds like. Either way, so I skipped ahead a little bit of their podcast. Are you enthralled yet? This is insane. I mean, this transcript.
Yeah, I'm interested. When did they start talking about Jack Skellington?
I don't think I got to that part. But even then, you know, when they just said, is there a party? A party? Either way. So I skipped ahead to another action-packed section. Okay, a little discussion that got a little heated, where one of them says, sometimes I ask myself, am I dreaming up a movie about this perfume? But then I realize that no, every time I smell it, it's the same. And the other guy responds, yep, that's a good one, a classic.
Did you tell what perfume it was?
I mean, come on, man. You don't want me to listen.
I'm imagining it's something from like that outlet mall that's really boring. Lacoste something.
Yeah, the Tommy Hilfiger.
Blue Sport.
Yeah. Holy shit. I mean, it's so good. I love this. I love these guys. I fucking, you know, you go up there.
I admire them for sticking to it because all, like, I've been through, having done this for 5 years, I've been through so many generations of podcasts that people gave up on, like sometimes, like, so, like, the very first fight that they have with someone, they'll like give up everything, and I'm like, y'all ain't dedicated enough. But the Parfumery podcast with its 750 followers on Twitter after 10 years is still going.
I will say on Instagram they got 1.4k, which is very impressive.
If you're a boy, that's like really hard to get over 1,000 followers. That means you're basically, it took me like
2.3 over
years to get over 1K. If you're a girl, they just instantly max out your character and, you know, give you 10K followers at the start.
Jack, are you a psycho, bro?
Yeah, I'd say so.
A little bit, me too, because what I do is I go back to the high school people, the popular girls in high school, and see how many followers they have, and I have different tiers. So I know like the low tier popular girl and the high tier popular girl. I'm making my way up. Okay, I've passed like 80% of them so far because you know what they do is they don't post often.
I'm far and away the most popular online of the people in my high school class, which is
But they're all old now. That's the other thing. Don't forget about
they're
that part.
Old. I got into a vortex the other day where I spent like 4 hours looking at their profiles.
Yeah.
And since I live in Austin, and everybody's like an aging millennial, all of them, they had gray hair. They had some job like farming like mushroom, like psilocybin mushrooms.
Hell yeah.
Or some like weed.
Psychonauts identity. Is what they're called. Yeah.
Everyone covered in ghastly colors of tattoos.
Super.
I felt at the same time really cool, but also really lame because I still was thinking of those people as like my social group that I want approval from.
I don't think it's ever going to stop. I'll be honest. This is getting a little deep here.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I had a great time in high school and I was like pretty popular, and I think that's why like adult life was harder. But the fact that it's been so long and everybody has just turned into some like gray haired mushroom farmer with like weed aesthetics.
Yeah.
Really something.
Damn. I don't think that ever passes, I'll be honest. You know, when it's like people, you know, like it's like your parents, you know, or whatever. Like there's some people where even when they're dead and gone, you're still gonna be like, ah, you fucking bastard, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. I got, you know, like whenever something good happens to you. And it's good because, you know, people call me spiteful, but I agree with that, actually. I'm not gonna deny
it. Well, you know
it.
Who I'm really spiteful of is like the scene gays that were like really popular around here in like the early 2010s when I was going to bars all the time. I get intense validation from the fact that none of them went anywhere and I have more followers than them, so
hell yeah, rip Bozo. I'm surprised that you'd be surprised that I don't use perfumes, you know what I'm saying?
I was kidding, it was dry.
Yeah, but you know humor sometimes it doesn't go well with me, you know what I'm saying? I don't like to laugh too much.
Look at all like well, maybe a little. Okay, there's a lot of like, I don't know, bodybuilder looking guys that like listen to my show and got into perfume through that.
What if I smell too hard and this is how I got this, man? What about that? What if I was smelling too hard? You never.
Your passion for scent. That's cute. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I would just assume you had some sort of like drug or boxing incident.
That's true. You know what? The box, I opened up the box of perfume and I got the whiff of my drug, which is perfume.
Wait, but what's your history of perfume association since you're like 16 years old or whatever? You said you were born in 2005.
No, I hate the people because I'm an old head, dude. I was born in 2000. That's
okay. So that makes you
doesn't matter. Don't make the math, but I just say
when,
yeah,
23.
I'm almost there. End of the year, so we're not past it yet. I'm like Babylon. You know, people say Babylon was the best movie of 2022.
So like the year you were discovering, you were being born, I was discovering masturbation. So like
absolutely,
you know,
historians will say those two things are not linked, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, Elvis. All right. I will say, though, which country smells the best? You said that it's probably France. I disagree, bro. French people don't like to flaunt their scents. You know what I'm saying? They like to keep it private.
No, they do. I worked at a hotel, and every time they have a retarded routine about it where they will pretend they're not wearing scent, and they don't want to be asked what it is, where I would always ask what it was.
Yeah.
But I do feel they wear quite a lot. I don't know. They do a bunch of gay little stuff like,
hell yeah,
only your lover should be able to smell you. Like just dumb little poetic shit that French people do.
But
compared to the last several decades of scent puritanism in America and like voluntary lifestyle allergies, which mercifully the only good side of it was that people started wearing perfume again because
It's true. I didn't know that.
Yeah, perfume is back in a big way because it took away your sense of smell, right?
Yeah.
So people, there were all these like New York Times articles of people learning how to like train their sense of smell. And I, when I got into perfume, I didn't smell anything on regular people anywhere in like liberal Austin. Now I smell it all the time.
Yeah.
So it has had a return.
Damn. That's wild, though. So people just like people stocked up on perfumes just to test themselves, go like a hot one.
They're just, I think it's the cultural perception of what perfume is at a different time, at different times that changes it. Whereas like the 80s, when there was still cigarette smoke in the air, it was all about really loud perfumes. And then the 90s were about this reaction against strong scents and everyone deciding to have performative allergies, which are not real, but which are a status signifier for empty upper middle class women.
Sorry, what even is that? So there's people who say that some types of perfume like irritate their skin.
Well, it's a way of executing fascist control on others passive aggressively. So like made up disorders like, you know, fibromyalgia and just anything that only afflicts like rich, bored people. But
it's like the woman.
It was along with that. But my thing, you know, I have always been presenting scent as an art form that's to be appreciated as a separate experience from just like something sprayed on to make you attract people or whatnot. So I think a broader understanding of perfume as an art form rather than a tool of seduction has taken place in the last few years.
Yeah. What's the point of that? Do you understand? Like, do you know, can you give me a little history, but like, why is it so freaking like, hey, you want to get girls, get the perfume. It's like, I don't think smell is the biggest factor when you're a scrawny little peanut, you know?
Back when men were men and when women were women and America was great, advertisements were full of sexual messaging and overt sexuality to a degree that seems really shocking today. I mean, every single ad just from the 70s looks like porn now.
That's a fucked up thing. They just moved away from sexualizing guys and girls to like be like, hey, what if we do this for Balenciaga, where we sacrifice a child for a little goat?
That was pretty funny. I was glad that they made Balenciaga unfashionable for a minute, because Balenciaga used to be cool in the 2000s when Nicola Gasquier was designing for them.
Yeah.
And then it became like ghetto Chinese slide sandal stuff.
Shine.
So the pinnacle of those ads made people not want to touch it for a while. So I think that's overall good. But I do think the kind of panic over the ads was a little overstated, because they were deliberate. I mean, it was deliberately some like internet-y people putting like ball and all these little like satanic like alt-right signifiers on it, like as an aesthetic thing to be scary, which is nothing new in fashion.
Well, this is what I love, is like people who say like,
himself designed those ads. The devil himself designs much more mundane things.
You watch an ad like this and you're like, now my goal in life is to expose a certain brand for something by like fucking promoting their shit all the time. Like, you're playing into it. You know, if Satan really did have something to do with it, he probably wants you to share that ad and be like, I disagree. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like, in my view, the stuff that Satan is actually most directly responsible for is really pedestrian and mundane and, depressing and nihilistic. And
Jaywalkers, dude. So you didn't like The Nun 2, I'm assuming? The movie, the hit movie, The Nun 2?
I'm really sick of that genre of PG-13 exorcist movies for Mexican teenagers. I saw the recent Exorcist movie.
It was the greatest movie of the year, I think. It was so good, dude. I mean, look, Ted, because in all the other movies, there was that's what you think, because you don't understand. Okay, there was one girl before, now there's two. You understand me? There's two girls in this. It's twice the fun.
Girls. Yeah, it just has a bunch of unattractive character actors like in a mob doing something like those Halloween reboots from the same
David
guy.
David Gordon Green, that's his classic.
Hated,
you know?
It, but no, I haven't seen those Nun movies. I thought the Conjuring was super overrated when it came out. I don't know why everyone loved it.
Because it's loud. That's what it is, dude.
It was
it's
loud, like, I guess.
And there's the maximum cut length is what, 1.5 seconds. You know, so you can never go to your phone because there's a new cut going on. So you gotta be like, you know, that's what people love it. That's what I love it. By the way, I'll be honest. I love this like frenetic style of movie that's clearly made for an algorithm because sometimes it's still good. You know what I'm saying? Like Priscilla, for example. Have you seen Priscilla?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, okay? But the ending's
off. I don't believe in spoilers. You can spoil it.
For a story that happened like 60 years ago. Too.
Yeah, what happens to Elvis?
I fucking love Elvis, dude. You don't even know. I watched Viva Las Vegas last night, dude. The greatest time I've had. Last night I had two times. I had a good time and a bad time. That was a good time, you know. Either way, Priscilla, the reason why I mention it is I love that movie, but I think that it's a clear example of every single scene has to there's a very standardized, you know, method to it, where it's quiet scene where it's supposed to be dramatic, and then bombastic music with like 60s guitar and flashing lights, and then it's quiet again. And then, now the first four times it was okay. But at the end, when your movie looks like a sine wave, you know what I'm saying? It just like goes up and down. It's like fucking, you know, it's clearly made to absorb the lesser minded, you know, not the real cinephiles like us who like, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, fellas. Casablanca, you know what I'm saying? The Stranger, 1946 with Orson Welles. These are the movies that we watch.
But I'm not like the other girls. My favorite movie is Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I love those movie facts, dude. What do you think of Watch Mojo? What's the Jack the Perfume Nationalist take on Watch Mojo?
What is that? I don't read anything about movies.
No, yeah, me neither. It's like, but it was a thing. You know, remember those like, they're the type of channels, the LA-based channels, where there's a bunch of goobers coming together, exposing the most simple and, you know, commonly known facts of all time. As this like new revelation. It's like, did you know that the line, "Honestly, honey, I don't give a damn," was improvised?
Oh, the things that play before movies.
Not even. It's just like YouTube videos. It's just like, but it's just a basic shit that's like very, very well known, you know?
But it's all about now those like factoid, like trivia things before movies are about like stuff from the last 10 years. So it's like, what color is Shrek?
Blue. That's what it made the song. Yeah.
And that's my example, but that movie is like 20 years old anyway. It's what color is Minion?
What color is Ariel? That's a good question. That's something people won't be able to answer. Here's the thing, though. I will say, those facts now, this is Canada, maybe, but in Canada, we got these facts about movies that come out at the same time as the movie you're watching, you know? So, for example, you're going to see a movie, and it's like, in Fast X, what is Dom Toretto's new car? It's like a movie that you clearly haven't seen because it's on, you know, it's in the theaters right now. So that's the newest trend.
I guess
there.
You're supposed to, the target audience for those would get excited about what car he's driving.
Huh? Yeah. Cineplex, what's it called? Cineplex heads. Are you a Cineplex head, bro?
I actually saw the first Fast and the Furious in the theater when it came out. I guess I was in seventh grade and I have zero memory of it. Yeah. And then like 20 years later, I found out they were still making those and people are like passionate about them just in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in them. My understanding of cars is like, there's cars and trucks, and that's as far as I can tell them apart.
You go by the license. There's trucks, there's cars, there's excavators, there's planes. There's planes, trains, automobiles. Don't even talk about that movie, Jack. Don't even dare. Yeah. Don't even dare. You know, I know you want to. You know,
one of those John Candy movies that they show at Christmas.
There he goes. He can't stop talking about planes, trains, automobiles. He just keeps going. Either way, Greg Araki, dude.
Greg Araki? Yeah. I absolutely hate him. Mysterious Skin is a masterpiece.
I agree.
That is so unlike anything else that he did. Smiley Face is fun.
Yeah.
But Doom Generation and all the like 90s ones that Criterion is circulating right now, they're fucking horrible. And I revisited them and did an episode on them earlier this year and kind of expected them to seem a little better. They were worse. That kind of. Yeah. Camp dialogue where it's like some Gen X chick saying like, I'll bite off your pecker, like that kind of
shut
thing.
Up, dyke.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a
but I think that yeah. Zoomers like them because in still images they look good. If you're just sharing a still perfect. Image of like Rose McGowan and Doom yeah. Generation or whatever, it looks like there's a good movie attached, yeah. but there isn't.
Yeah, yeah. No, I well, that depends but how you big like them? Depends how much into plot you are, bro. I mean, the plot's kind of stupid. But at the same time, it's like you watch This Is the End of the World or The End of the World, one of those, the pilot that he made, you know, because he wanted to make a TV show and just the pilot survived. It's like, this is fucking fun, dude. I don't know. There's a certain energy to it where it's like, you don't have to co-sign everything that goes on. You don't have to be like, oh, this is good, this is bad. I wagged my finger at this scene. But at the same time, it's a fun experience, you know, it's a whole ride. And it's got a very good sense of pacing where it just kind of takes you along. At the end, you're like, huh. That was something. That was really you
okay.
Know?
I'm an old head though, and yeah. remember when these movies were very much around, and everybody thought they were disappointing. Like yeah. everyone at the time thought Nowhere was like so disappointing. I remember renting it in ninth grade, thinking, "Oh, this is going to be so sick because yeah. the cover made it look so cool," and thinking like, "Oh, what a piece of shit." And then with Mysterious Skin, my opinion of him went up because that's a different yeah. thing. But now it's just like they get circulated as absolute masterpieces.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's sick because he hasn't really done much in many years. I think that's pretty cool. Just like really just sit out your golden years. I love that. You know what I'm saying? Because directors usually make shit when they're young. Yeah.
Affirmative. He's set. They can just do little articles about him as a pioneering gay yeah, filmmaker. True.
But isn't it kind of funny?
You know, the good new queer cinema Gen X gay filmmaker is yeah. Todd Haynes, who made Safe and Velvet Goldmine and Poison.
Yeah.
But Todd Haynes, you know, he was my favorite ever, but his career has gone off into this totally like mainstream, unremarkable direction, but everyone's still talking about Greg Araki.
Now that you mention it, Greg also directed one of the episodes of Dahmer, that piece of shit TV show.
Oh yeah, I recall that. There was
that's so funny, man. I don't know how to, like, look, I don't want to be this soapboxy type of guy. Okay, I'm not at that level yet, but imagine getting that to that level in Hollywood. Imagine having that ability to fund movies, you know, much easier than people like me, for example, or I don't know if you make, but like, you know, at this level do. But then, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that thing and I'm just going to chill for a bit. Like, I don't understand that at all. Like, it just doesn't get into my head.
The censorship and the lack of imagination the last 10 years affected a lot of those guys. And
yeah.
I can't imagine how miserable it is to work in that industry and know better, but have to go along with this ideology and politics. But some of them are able to make really like non-conforming creative things through, like Mike White, and it becomes a big hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. They're like getting really famous, getting a ton of acclaim, and then just like not doing anything.
At least go crazy, make a Sorcerer or something. You know, things that everybody hates, but at least you're proud of. Like, I don't mean they should keep rising in Hollywood. I just mean they should use that clout to do something they really wanted to do when they couldn't. You know. But either way, that's just me. I'm not here to give advice to Greg Araki. Apparently, it's not Araki. I didn't know that. I thought it was kind of funny to do Greg Araki, where he's a guy in the Middle East fighting. Would you think that'd be kind of crazy?
So, his shit is so cornball, man. Those like
that's the point, though.
Chinese movies all have that like text that's like, this movie is a fuck you to Republicans and George Bush.
That's fucking cool.
They all literally say that in text.
That's fucking like, look. Okay.
It's so gay.
It's awesome. I think it's pretty cool to be like, here's the mess. You could have you seen Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth movie that just came out?
Yeah, I saw it last night. It was I would give it 0 stars.
It's fucking shit. But I liked at the end where it's like Thanksgiving, not thanks. What is it like buying or something like that?
Why did the credits look like a PlayStation 2, yeah. PlayStation 1 menu?
It looks like Borderlands.
Not on purpose.
Borderlands. You know that the Borderlands one that they eat, there's like the text that comes up. Yeah.
That movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to come on your podcast and just be negative all the time.
But no, you got to listen. This is okay. This is,
I actually like everything.
Elvis would have hated Thanksgiving. That's what I have to say.
It was okay. Like Black Friday as a subject of satire in 2023.
Yeah.
When brick and mortar retail is dead. Okay. There was this terrible movie called Krampus that did that.
Of course. Classic.
In 2015. And it just like that Thanksgiving movie is seems like something an old person who's out of touch and doesn't know what's going on made, because a Black Friday satire about consumerism with an all-white crowd mobbing a Walmart.
Yeah. Because that's a Gangnam Style reference would have worked super well in that movie, just because of the era it's from.
I just can't believe this is 15 years after that fake trailer came out in Grindhouse. I was like 19, I was 20 or something when that movie came out.
Yeah.
And now the entire world is a smoldering rubble, and we get this Thanksgiving movie, which not only has the audacity to be so insipid and bad, but receives the automatic critical approval that every really lame horror movie gets now. They all get this automatic, like, 85% Rotten Tomatoes approval.
Yeah.
Because the people writing the reviews are so lame. But they, you know, I don't know.
Tim Dillon dies. You loved that part, didn't you? You loved Tim Dillon dying. You loved that part of the movie.
I was in that theater and saw that the movie was already going to be bad because of the Black Friday satire. And then two, Dirtbag Left Chapo comedian Tim Dillon has a rather large role in it.
Yeah.
I was really depressed.
No, it's cool. I love comedians in movies.
You're straight, so you probably worship Tim Dillon, huh?
I don't give a fuck. No, but I loved that. What's it called?
You think he's super funny for like making references to Pizzagate or whatever?
You know what? I had the displeasure of listening to his
he's horrible, dude.
Netflix special, dude. Wow. Why would you shave before your special if you're
I saw him at the when he briefly lived in Austin when all the base people were moving to Austin. Yeah. I saw him at the liquor store. He was so short.
When did that happen? When did the base people move to Austin? It just seems
it
like
was during
comedians.
COVID, but he only lasted like 6 months or something. You know, like Joe. But I saw him at the liquor store. Nice. And he was like a little tiny goblin.
I don't know.
There's only room for so many fat faggots needing straight attention in this town. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I didn't want to point it out right, but I know that you're playing a sort of like a tactic right here. So it's like people will discredit Tim Dillon, and you will rise from the ashes. that's what you're playing, which is, you know, that's okay. But I will say that comedians in movies are usually good. Jim Norton as what's it called? Who do you play? Jim Norton played a comedian in The Irishman. That was sick. That was awesome.
I think I made it through 2 hours of that. I don't know.
Yeah, so like one, like two, what is it, 3 hour movie? Three and a half, something like that? It's insane. Irishman. You missed all the good parts. You missed the fish. You missed the Al Pacino dying. All my favorite moments you missed out on.
I'm sick of Martin Scorsese going around saying insipid little things. Yeah. Retweeted onto my... I know I'm going to have to see that Indian movie.
Oh, you haven't yet?
I know it's going to suck. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Was it epic?
It's awful. And I thought I would be torn. I thought I'd be torn because like, I thought it's going to be a great movie and then I would hate it because I'm racist. But at the same time, it was just bad. Like it wasn't.
You're racist?
No, not true.
I thought from our conversation that you were like a lib and I was like bad and coming on here.
Oh yeah. No, I'm very. So I'm directing a movie right now. So
so you're pretending to be a lib while your movie's coming. I don't know what goes on in Canada with 23-year-olds born in 2005.
This is where it gets really, really fucking, excuse me the term, but fucking gay. I'm going to be like, actually, I'm beyond the spectrum. It's like, I don't care about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not very strong.
Yeah, I mean, I say things like that too, but it's when I'm talking to a liberal and trying to pretend to be acceptable. I don't believe in politics, you know.
Wait, so you're telling me I'm a phony? You dare come on the show call me a phony? You call me a phony and a poser?
Whenever I say something like, I don't fit into any box. It's
because I'm too big.
Exactly,
I'm too
what
fucking
box
massive.
I fit in, but I'm not gonna reveal that right now.
Okay. All I'm saying is I don't really. I'm not very much into the talk
in
on
your
X.
Little letter that you sent me to come on here. You said I'm a libtard.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Is that a joke?
No, it's true. It's true because in the sense that like some guys. think that I'm conservative just because I hang out with the cool guys. You know what I'm saying? There's cool guys who I think are funny and awesome, and we just work together, and then people by association are like, you're right wing. It's I don't give a fuck about Josh Lukacs' politics. I just think he was a fun guest. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a shit if someone thinks this politician or that politician should go together and you know, kiss each other on stage. I don't care. I don't care. It's like, I'm just, I will say this thing. I'm sick of this fucking bullshit of just continually pushing a very narrow-minded idea, you know, through your throat and through media. I hate that. I hate the fucking else. Yeah. I'm anti. Look, if there's one stance I fucking hate the. Can we say this? That's the one thing I hate. Otherwise, I don't really have a fucking political opinion. Because I, you know what? I'm too busy watching movies. I'm too busy watching movies such as...
The Irishman. I'm beyond politics, too. I mean, I just have a, like, podcast mode when, yeah. You know, when you're rapping, when you're improvising, you know.
Yeah.
I just get on the Zoom screen and I start trying to like make jokes, but I'm actually really nice and have never.
How many jokes have you made this episode, bro? You feel like a straight edge stone cold incel.
I'm dry and funny. I'm dry.
You're stone cold. You're stone cold incel.
I'm dry and funny.
You're dry and funny.
People listen to it and like they, I say something like kind of shocking and then, but it's in a dry tone, so they laugh at it.
So they're gonna be laughing at me. You said this is all making fun of my stupid poser. Politics.
No, I think you're really nice.
Thank you.
I just didn't know. I was scared by the email. I thought you were gonna like play some trick on me when I came on.
What kind of trick?
Show?
You're not a female comedian. I wouldn't want to trick you. Yeah.
If you were gonna like pull out some like PowerPoint presentation of like bad photos of me or something.
It's. Do you have
any? Look at it.
Hey, let's be honest. How many good angles do you have? You know what I'm saying? I got maybe one.
I have several. If it's like a candid photo that someone's taking when I'm like laughing and smiling, then I look really charming.
That's a Priscilla reference.
I don't think men photograph well in general because photography does not convey stature. So many guys can have a presence in person, based on their height or their manner or whatever, that just doesn't come across in a photo.
I agree.
Women are like lizards, so they the magic of photography captures their evil essence.
It's the systemic technology that's making me look bad in every picture I take. It's not because
it's not me,
an ugly bastard. But look, here we go. Look, I mean,
I'm not the problem.
I was never the problem. You know what I'm saying? If it were up to me, everybody would be living in peace. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about peace, but at the same time. I'm thinking about something else as well. You, as the preferred perfume nationalist, you may have an opinion on this. Do you think that the most stinkiest war is going on right now? What do you think? Let's get a little political.
I hate this current thing.
Absolutely.
I feel like it is... I feel like it is Yankee, coastal elite, AP history nonsense. I mean... There's a screenshot that I always use from the Anna Nicole Smith show of her being asked what she thinks of the war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Her eyes get weird and it says, I know nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
I find this all really tedious, but I have so many like friends in New York who get obsessed with this racial politics stuff and talk about it all day.
Yeah. Here's my take.
I think it's a Yankee problem.
Here's my take. Israel, okay, Palestine, both countries not known to be smelling very nice.
I feel like Israel would smell. I find is Israel sexy,
but you put them together, and this might be. I'm telling you, I don't want to put stuff in your mouth right now, but I think that this might be the stinkiest war the U.S. has been involved in a long time. The stinkiest, you know, whoever smelt it dealt it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to watch a video of someone named Norman Finkelstein talking to Candace Owens to find out why I should be snarky about Israel.
No, you know what? The era of me listening to intellectuals is over. You know what I'm saying? I've been told many things about intellectuals that I should be thankful for them. I should appreciate their advice. But I'm over that period of time. You know what I'm saying?
I find the news cycle and like... day-to-day politics to be a complete waste of time. Like, I have like a political viewpoint.
That's
observations about culture and like what I see with my two eyes, but I don't watch the news. I don't get wrapped up in daily open-ended soap opera current thing nonsense. Like all it does is take up space in your brain. It goes nowhere. You can't control it. This war is especially annoying because it seems to have monopolized every space that I inhabit.
The last war too,
except my own podcast where I'm talking about like whatever Meyer Breckinridge or some book. But everybody's just talking about that fucking war.
Well, that's what's awesome. It's like this podcast, we never actually mentioned this, the war in our podcast ever. It's not gonna happen. So I'm glad that we agree on that point. I will say though, there's one thing that I kind of rubs me the wrong way about what you just said. You said that you don't watch the news.
No, I absorb things through the feed.
You're just absorbing the television, aren't you?
Wait, you're doing the Gen X like I don't watch TV thing.
Me? I watch movies all the time. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, I absorb news stories in the passive way that people do.
From
scrolling the feed.
You're like a golden nugget.
No, like, I'm not like in a basement with no knowledge of what's happening.
Think about that. They can be having a goon cave, but instead of a goon cave, it's just the news.
Harmful, like boomers, especially like the way that they have the news on all day because they think that it's real.
Yeah.
Is psychologically harmful.
Well, think about that. You're an old guy. You're a geezer. You've been through zero wars because you're in Canada, but you've been through many, many like dodges. You know, all the dodges that came out every year, you've been through all of them. Like, you have a heavy experience. You sit down, you got health issues, your wife doesn't really care anymore. You go on there and Megyn Kelly tells you exactly what's happening in the world. Isn't that a treat? Like, I understand why they do it. You know what I'm saying? It's still
pathetic, nice, but it just took a really especially sinister tone with where even Fox News, like the supposedly Republican one, it was just day to day constant propaganda.
That thing up, you know that song.
And I don't even like care that much about that, but like,
how do you not care about that stuff? Because you didn't get it. That's why you weren't forced by your government to fuck. Oh yeah,
I had a job, baby.
Damn,
I had to get it.
You didn't go neat mode? You should have went neat mode. That's my
No, I got it. Nice. I was still working and it was get it or lose my job, and I couldn't lose my job.
But,
and I found the relentless focus on the as the symbol of oppression to be wrong-headed.
Yeah.
My bigger problem was with the mask. I have no doubt that the is giving people a lot of health problems, but it was the mask being forced, especially on service workers, 8 hours a day, that was the problem, my biggest problem of all of it.
Nice. This is very 2020. I agree, but now we gotta get into this because this is too exciting. People have been clamoring for more about the Toot the Hooter segment. I mean, what even can we get a Toot the Hooter prediction from you? What do you think?
A PowerPoint presentation of unflattering pictures of me that I have to react to.
Yeah, but this clearly I don't have. This is not a green screen. It's just my wall.
I didn't know what I was walking into.
You just want to set me up. You want to set me up for failure, bro. You're like, I'm going to come on this podcast. I'm going to be like,
I was going to be nice. I just like,
proof. He said he was going to be nice.
No, I am nice.
Now we're doing fantastic.
There's your profile has that like kind of like comedy like
me
aura about it.
I've never said a joke in my entire life, dude. I'm serious.
Well, now I believe you, but
because okay, go ahead.
I just I wouldn't have been surprised if there was mischief afoot.
Mischief? What kind of mischief, dude? The only mischief I've known. Okay.
Your profile looks mischievous.
Me? Like, it's you. Like I don't even know how to respond to that. It's like, did we invite female comedians on to think they're funny and then cut out their jokes and add in more dead air into their segments? No, we didn't. We didn't do that. That's not me. Did I?
Wait, what? Female comedians? Wait, okay. Well, what's Toot the Hooter? Because I'm chomping at the bit. I have to know.
Absolutely excellent. So now, people might think it's a little disjointed to do the things like this, but at the same time, I'm a pro editor. Are you good at editing, bro? Are you a good editor?
No, not at all.
No, you probably, that's what he says.
Oh, wait, I was a copy editor. I can edit, like, text.
Hell yeah.
Not like video.
Will you look at my text? Will you look at my,
your screenplay? You want me to edit it?
Yeah, will you take out the mistakes from the screenplay? The whoms and the whoms?
Yeah, just email me that screenplay and I'll read it right away.
you say that you don't do anything, but you probably do a lot of stuff in your entire life. You know, you probably do lots of stuff.
Sure.
What kind of stuff, dude? What kind of ventures do you got? Investing?
Well, I do occasional, like, speaking things if people invite me. I'm just occupied with the work required for my podcast, which is a lot of reading. I mean, I cover a lot of, like, books.
Screenplays, for example. I can't wait. But you're also an actor is what I'm trying to get at. That's one thing I forgot to mention.
Oh, in Omega Fish Corps. Yeah, I'm an actor. It was delightful. Yeah.
You're my employee.
Wonderful.
Okay. So... But there's also another thing I want. There's also a secret third thing that you do. The name of this thing is called Toot the Hooter. All right. This is going to be absolutely. I mean, can you even guess what it is? I'll give you two tries, baby. Just a little quick.
Something about boobs.
Oh, no. I mean, no.
Something about cocaine.
I mean, look, perfume nationalist. I'm not very smart. The first thing that came to mind.
Something about smelling.
You might be right on this one.
I mean,
one.
That would make sense.
We'll reveal that after. But look, Jack, first of all, let's try to get to know... This is like the Green Room and the Johnny Carson era. You know what I'm saying? Do you remember Johnny Carson?
Yeah, I'm that old. I remember.
Watching
Johnny Carson every day.
Yeah. Well, he's in it recently.
I remember the commercials for like the VHS compilations where they were drunk. They were like infomercials that would play... Right. Late at night to order Johnny Carson's greatest hits. And it was just them being drunk with Rat Pack people.
That's got to be so sick, though. Imagine ordering like Blu-rays of TV. Have you done that before? Just like not a movie or anything, but just...
Look at this shelf behind me. There's a huge shelf of... tons of the TV that I'm interested in, you have to get. Sometimes on like a bootleg DVD-R.
Yeah, true.
And also, you know, when... Hologram George Floyd swept through, and they removed all the blackface episodes of everything.
Yeah, Always Sunny,
to preserve them as DVD.
Absolutely.
So you know, I have, like, even though I don't ever think about Always Sunny, I have like several seasons of it that I bought just due to the blackface panic.
Well, you know, these are
just
like
for my blackface items. Collection.
Absolutely. Man, that's crazy. I don't know. I don't even think I've bought a Blu-ray in my past, like, I don't know, the past year, probably. I don't know. I just, for me, physical media, everything could get lost in the fire. I want everything that I have and own to be on a server that can be taken away at any time. You know what I'm saying?
I like being surrounded by things and collecting things, but I am getting sick of looking at the DVDs, which give that atmosphere of, like, when Blockbuster Video is like closing and everyone's depressing, like season sets of shows like 24 would be like lined up. And, but you know, I've collected them for years. And also I would say, I always encourage people to get physical media, but only if you care about movies. Like everybody doesn't care about movies and that's fine. Like I do.
Of course,
and also with, streaming, everything just mysteriously disappears, even like on Amazon, where it seems like by common sense would all be available for rental.
Right.
Somehow it will just have that this is unavailable in your region thing. And
you don't even know. Wait a second. I'm going to call you out right now. You can't complain about that shit. You're American. There's no, you don't know the troubles of getting American TV or movies or whatever in Canada. Nothing's available. Even Louis.
Oh,
they took it
out. How are you even allowed to talk to me from Canada?
You know what, though? That's the thing. That's the other thing. People forget about this. We're free in everything that isn't fun. You know, as soon as you start having a little bit of fun in Canada, they nip it in the butt. You know, they can't do it anymore.
I think Canada sounds great. All the people that I know from Canada seem really happy and nice.
Look, it's
I went to Canada, like, I've never even been off the continent besides when I went to Prince Edward Island.
Hell yeah. Would you get lobsters?
An Anne of Green Gables fan, and everybody was like fresh faced and eating ice cream cones. Yeah. Canada somehow still has the occasional white person or heterosexual couple of the same race in commercials. We definitely don't have that here in America anymore.
Yeah.
Everything is about men doing laundry. Yeah. And like, doing like servile female things on the commercials.
All right, look, I'm gonna come out as fake trad, okay? But I kind of love doing laundry. Don't you get a satisfying feeling of just like getting everything clean? Like I love mopping the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gay, so I have a woman's brain and a man's body, so I like all the like housework stuff.
Yeah.
Laundry's my least favorite because I don't love ruining my clothes, but everything else, I mean, I would be so happy as a 60s. Housewife on diet pills, just
absolutely a bit of uppers, on that Elvis diet. You're coming back to Elvis. You
I mean,
Jack, people might deny this, but I think you're the modern day Elvis. You're modern Elvis.
No, I you're gonna laugh at me, but
I'm not gonna laugh.
Kind of look like him, especially when I was like in ninth grade. He has like big red dick sucking lips too.
Hell yeah.
I like had black hair in ninth grade. He has some similar features. I'm like, you know, the busted Texas, you know, podcaster version. But
now, wait a second. The audience is clamoring for this. I've had to keep people out of this for long. But now, can we get your best? Let's get this clear. Because people don't understand that people reincarnate. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sick and tired of this. People are like, I'm born in 2005. It's like, I'm sick of you. Even if you think you're original and super cool, there's a guy in the 60s who was copying a guy in the 40s who was copying a guy from the 1800s, and you know it continues on, who was doing the exact same shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's good to be Elvis. Don't deny your Elvisness. You know, you're approving it. That's cool. But people are like, oh no, you can't be.
You're
like,
you're the first person that said it in a while. It's maybe because my hair is a little longer, but I used to get it sometimes.
I got a certain perspective, bro. I got a perspective and a perspection. Do you know what that means?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Perspection.
Perfume nationalist, Jack. Perfume nationalist. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which country smells the best?
I haven't been to any other ones.
This has been the 8 Plates podcast. Had a fun time? Well, that was only a nibble compared to the millions of billions of hours of 8 Plates bonus episodes you can access on gumroad.com/8plates. Check it out and get a grip.